Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. I hope you are enjoying some of the new music bumpers. It's music by my son, Arnie Sallon. He did a Father's Day song for me, and all you heard was the instrumental part there, but you'll hear more with other cues later in the show. Anyway, welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@brucesallon.com. That's Bruce and Sallon, S-A-L-L-A-N. That's S like Stacy. That's S like Swimp, because our next guest is Stacy Swimp. In addition to his role as a spokesman for the Project 21 Black Leadership Network, Mr. Swimp is the president of the Frederick Douglass Society, a nonpartisan nonpartisan public policy and education institution that promotes free market solutions and advocates for labor freedom and school choice. I want to hear more about that. He is also the host of Contagious Transformation, a weekly radio show focused on conservative political commentary. Great title, by the way. Great name for the show, Stacy. He is a 2009 graduate of the Great Lakes Bay Region African American Leadership Training Institute. He's got lots more. I want to just talk to him now. He's been a contributor to all kinds of major public places, forums, mainstream media, etc. Welcome to the show, Stacy.
Thank you for having me, and happy Independence Day to you, my friend.
And to you. It's a very interesting Independence Day, given what's going on in the world, in my opinion, especially what took place yesterday in Egypt. And I suspect we're going to have a lot of interesting news to follow up. It's the best soap opera on Earth, is what's going on in the world at large, in my opinion. But you have a smaller story to tell. In addition to other questions, I'd like to ask you about a recent debate you had, and I'd love you to tell the story and let me ask questions along the way.
Oh, thank you. Well, here in Michigan in Bloomfield Hills, at the school district, there was some hoopla.
Bloomfield Hills?
Yeah, Bloomfield Hills.
My family's from Bloomfield Hills.
No kidding.
I swear.
No kidding.
That's so hysterical. Wow. I still have some family there. Anyway, go on. I knew you were in Michigan, but that's ironic. Okay.
So there was a lot of controversy because the news reports came out that allegedly that the school district wanted to put a ban on Tebowing. You know, Tim Tebow would pray in the on the field, but Tim Tebow didn't invent that. It's been going on long before him. So it is out that some of the young people reached out to me from that school district. They wanted to reach out to someone who they felt would stand up for them, make sure their voices are heard. So
What grade level are you talking about?
These kids are like juniors, seniors in high school,
okay.
and some of them are recent graduates of the school.
Got it.
But they were all engaged, and they reached out to me. I then in turn reached out to the school district, and they quickly put a meeting together the very next day, which was yesterday. And I moderated a meeting between the concerned students, the superintendent, people in the athletic department about whether their policy was actually in line with the Constitution, whether it went too far. And the whole thing started because the ACLU came to the school and complained and said that someone said that it was perceived that the coach had led the players in a prayer, and that just can't happen. And
so heaven forbid.
Really. So,
you know what I call the ACLU, the American Criminal Liberties Union.
Well, you know, if you look at it, it's pretty consistent with the truth, because at the end of the day, they're the organizations that are pushing for partial birth abortions. They're the organizations that are pushing for everything that's anti-American. They're the organization that's been pushing for laws and policies that go against our very Judeo-Christian founding. So your commentary is accurate.
You know, ironic? You know, my mother, my mother and father were both gone now, but they were Democrats their whole life, because they were Democrats when JFK was a president and a Democrat. And of course, if JFK were alive today, he would be a Republican, because you could not possibly ever say, ask not what you can do for your country, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. That is a conservative value. It is so far from where he is now today. It's so ironic. The ACLU also was, in fact, much like the NAACP, a great organization in its infancy and its early years, and it turned into this political organization. And my mom used to continue to contribute to them, and it would just irritate the heck out of me.
Well, I gotta depart from you just briefly, okay?
Sure.
If JFK was alive today, he would not be a Republican. That is absolutely not true.
Okay.
Under President Eisenhower, both he and Lyndon B. Johnson voted against the Republican initiatives called the Civil Rights Bill and the Voting Rights Act. And the other thing is, a lot of people don't understand, the Great Society vision of LBJ wasn't really his idea originally. It was Kennedy's idea. Just like we've seen in many administrations where one president, their administration starts an idea, they're no longer in office, the next president might rename it, do something different. The Great Society vision was actually birthed under the Kennedy administration. You got to understand, Kennedy was a Democrat. He was a dyed-in-the-wool Dixiecrat, and at the end of the day, he had some sayings that were conservative, and yes, he was in no way as left-leaning and radical as what we see today, but make no mistake about it, Kennedy, my friend, was a dyed-in-the-wool Dixiecrat.
Well, I will take that correction to heart. I think we agree that his inaugural statement would probably not come out of any Democrat's mouth today.
Not at all, not even close.
And the irony also, of course, is people forget that Abraham Lincoln was a Republican.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So, and it's coming back full circle to the ACLU. I was on Fox 2 Detroit last night debating against this ACLU attorney. It was quite hilarious. You know, they believe, and he believes, in what they call the separation of church and state, and they would argue that the Constitution says so, and that's absolutely not true. And what they try to do is they try to abuse the First Amendment's Establishment Clause, which does reference the founders' intent that the state must not establish a religion, so to speak, but it does not prevent any American from exercising the religious dictates of his or her own conscience. And so I really I enjoyed myself dismantling this guy and demonstrating to him, A, he clearly has never read the Constitution in his entire life, and B, he has no interest in individual freedom.
So let me ask you a question. This was a live – were you in each other's physical presence?
Oh, we were live on television. Absolutely.
Okay, so he couldn't look at you, given that you're African American, and call you a racist, right?
Given that I'm American, he didn't say that. It was actually a pleasant debate, and
that seems to be what the left does. Mm-hmm. Rather than engage in the facts, they call you names. Now, given your ethnicity, you couldn't be called a racist, but you could, be called other names. But I guess he couldn't pull that out of his hat.
Well, that never came up, fortunately, in that particular instance. But to your point, I certainly have been through that quite a bit.
Well, continue on with the debate, Anna. And where did he stumble with things you said in particular? I mean, this whole religion thing and the idea that exercising our rights of expression in our religion has any it means that we're not allowed to have religion at all anywhere in the public sphere? That is totally not what...
That's a great question, because what he said essentially was that the Constitution of the United States the First Amendment prevents schools from allowing prayer, he says, because the state shall not establish any religion. That is absolutely ridiculous. The United States Constitution, as you know, was written as a limitation on the power of the government to interfere with our unalienable rights. It was not intended to place any restrictions on the autonomy of the American people to control the government. Hence, the government, whether state or federal, should not be able to impose upon the individual rights of the American people to honor God, be it in schools, be it in courtrooms, or any institution in our country.
Nor did our founders ever expect government to create dependence and limit independence of its citizens or provide equality for everyone. The freedom that they fought for was for religious freedom and the exercise of that right, and for equality in opportunity, not in result. And yet the powers in place now seem to want to undermine all of that with the size of our government, which is a disaster, and the regulation upon regulation and control upon control about every aspect of our lives.
So true what you're saying. At the end of the day, we have a government today that's out of control. And I think that when you create public policies that enlarge government, centralized government, and restrict in any shape, form, or fashion the ability of the American people to choose for ourselves, think for ourselves, and create for ourselves, what you've done is you've just dehumanized us. I truly believe that. You've stripped us of our personal dignity, and you stripped us of the very thing that makes us special. That is, we're all made in the image of God, and you've just taken that very image and tainted it. And I truly believe that we're in a society, and I tremble, and I say this all the time. I think about Thomas Jefferson's book, Notes on Virginia, and he said something that really strikes me today. Mm-hmm. He said that I reflect and I tremble for my country. and I fear that the sins of the fathers shall be visited upon the sons, and God's justice shall not rest forever. When I look at our society today, I reflect on Thomas Jefferson's words, and I personally, as a father, truly tremble for my country, and I tremble for the children and the children's children, because as they come of age, what are we truly leaving them?
You have a daughter, a grown daughter. What would you like to say to her right now?
Well, I would like to say to my daughter that, first of all, that I love you, and the biggest thing with my daughter is that you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity in this great revolution to make a difference. And even though we see government is out of control, and even though we understand what's happening, to whom much is given, much is required. And to my daughter, I would say, you have a father who's tried to demonstrate to you what individual responsibility looks like, who has tried to demonstrate what entrepreneurship, limited government is all about. So to my daughter, much is required, because she knows and she understands what the truth is. And so I would say to her, you are able to do it, you're gifted to do it, you have a responsibility to do it, that is to fight for freedom, the freedom that's not free.
And now do it.
And now do it.
All right, we are out of time, but before we go, please tell our listeners where they can find you.
Thank you so very much. You can find out more about Project 21 at nationalcenter.org, www.nationalcenter.org. You can find out more about the Frederick Douglass Society, www.frederickdouglasssociety.org, frederickdouglasssociety.org. You can find out more about me online in terms of my Facebook page. Stacy Swimp is my public page, STACYSWIM as in Michael, P as in Pal. Finally, you can find out more about my writing. Sometimes I write in my blog, StacySwimp.net. That's StacySwimp.net, and I'm sorry if you're on Twitter, at Stacy Swimp. And thank you. It's really been a joy to be on your show today.
Likewise, Stacy, and have a great 4th. I look forward to speaking with you again. We will be back after these breaks with Dr. Jennifer Weberman.
Let me tell you a little story about a dude I know. His name is Bruce Allen. He used to have a Jew.